Welcome back to Financial Therapy. It's not just about the money. I'm personal financial planner, columnist, and financial therapist, Rick Kaler. Research tells us that 90% of all financial decisions are made emotionally, not logically. For nearly four decades, I've been helping people make better money decisions. So what makes my financial worldview different from most financial experts? I blend the nuts and bolts of financial advice with the emotions that drive making them. Good money decisions are not just about the money. So let's get started with today's episode. Welcome to another edition, and this is a special edition, not in necessarily what the topic is, but more that this is the third anniversary of this podcast. And when I started this back in 2021, I really had no idea how long I would be doing it. Figured I would be doing it till I ran out of things to say. And when I first started, it was not my intention really to interview because interviewing takes, in the way I view it, a lot more time and effort, because you've got to coordinate schedules. And I know I've had one person, I think we had to reschedule 5 times. So just to sit down at my desk, usually on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, and tell you what's on my mind, flows a lot better. So doing the math, I figure that I've done 156 episodes or so, which is probably around the number that this episode is. And I got curious. I was wondering, well, what's average for a podcast? And I was kind of shocked about that. I found out that 47% of podcasts have 3 or fewer episodes. Now there's 4.3 million podcasts, so that's still quite a few. 12% of podcasts have been updated in the last 90 days. So now we're down to only around 500,000 podcasts have anything new on it in the last 90 days. Only 8% of podcasts have something new in the last 30 days. Well, they did not give records on how many podcasts are updated weekly, of which, of course, this one is. So I guess when I look at it in that way, it's pretty rare to be updating weekly and have been running now over 3 years. Recently, I've noticed a trend in downloads, and it's not something that has made me very happy. The downloads since around November have fallen in half. So that has led me to question, of course, why. Are folks getting tired of the content, tired of my jokes? What is causing that type of a fall off? And the answer is, I don't know. I've been told that some algorithms recently changed in Apple. And unless you are allowing advertisers, the ability to find the podcast is more difficult. I don't know. I do know that I really don't spend much time promoting the podcast. And I think all of you know that I have a day job. In fact, I have a couple of day jobs. And while I have a passion of doing the podcast, I don't have a passion in marketing the podcast. So, and that doesn't mean that I don't spend any money putting it on social media and stuff like that. I forget. What that costs, but it's several hundreds of dollars a month just to pay for the production of the podcast and some very, very mild promotion. So this is definitely not a moneymaker. And I would say I spend probably 2 to 3 hours a week on the podcast, on writing the material, and the time that it takes to lay it down and then edit it. I did find out that when it comes to downloads, that our downloads were running as high as over 400 a week, has dropped to a little over 200. Even with that number of downloads, we used to be in the top 10%. Now we're probably in the top 15 to 20% of podcasts. So I never thought a download in the hundreds was really good at all. In fact, 1,100 downloads per episode puts the podcast in the top 5%. So while there are millions of podcasts, there's very few, obviously, that put down many episodes, and even less that do it weekly. And I know when I travel, so many of you come up and are appreciative to the podcast, have listened to the podcast. Of course, now with 3 years of material put down, there's a lot of material. And it's convenient for me to refer people to various podcasts when they have questions about what I think about certain topics. So I want to thank those of you that are faithful listeners. And I enjoy doing the podcast. And the reason I do it is to make a difference, for self-expression, to fill a niche in the financial therapy arena, which there are not a lot of podcasts at all that address financial therapy. So it's just part of wanting to put this out to the world and give back. So again, thank you for being a listener. I thought I would talk on today a column that I wrote not too long ago. And it was called, "Why Would You Pick Up a Penny?" And I got really intrigued in the emotions, the psychology of picking up a penny. And I guess I'll address up front, this the column that I wrote was republished. Typically, it publishes in 3 or 4 newspapers, and it's often picked up by some online blogs and digital media. And I got a comment from one publisher that said they went back in and changed penny to a nickel. And the reason they did it is because picking up a penny to this person had an anti-Semitic tone to it. And I don't understand this. I haven't done a lot of research. I've talked to some of my Jewish colleagues and friends, and they didn't find any offense in picking up a penny was anything overtly anti-Semitic. But just in case there's a listener that would be offended by that, I had no clue and no idea that it would be viewed as such. And I elected, after consulting, again, a lot of my Jewish friends, to leave penny in my particular publications. So with that disclaimer, this happens a lot. I spot a penny on the ground. Now, typically, my my impulse, what my money scripts are, is I would pick up the penny. I've been picking up pennies for 6 decades or more. And obviously, a penny isn't worth today what it was worth 60 years ago. Maybe it was more equal to a dime in today's dollars. But this time more recently, when I spotted this penny on the ground, I had this internal dialogue of parts of myself. And so one part of myself says, well, pick it up. It's free money. And this other voice comes in and says, hello, it's just a penny. It's not worth the effort. And I was aware of the counter to that was, well, it's still a penny. To walk by it would be wasteful. And this other part of me says, well, just spending this time that you're standing here looking at this penny is even more wasteful. Look at what your hourly rate is, and I'm sure it's already cost you many pennies just to be standing here pondering it, much less bending down and picking it up. And then where are you going to put it? So, you know, that part just says, leave it, walk on. And the other part of me says, oh, man, the thought of just walking on, that's really painful. This is free money. Yeah, well, if you pick it up, you'll have to put it somewhere in the car. Even parking meters don't take pennies anymore. Oh, what? When are you ever going to use it? So, the latter voice won, and I kept moving. I decided not to pick up the penny. And since I've been monitoring that, I'm thinking, well, what would I pick up? And I really should get a calculator out and do the math to see how long does it take you to stoop down and pick up a penny? Maybe 5 seconds? So just using the rate that I charge for financial therapy, today I charge about $5 a minute. I have never figured this out until this moment. If I divide that by seconds, I'm charging 8 cents a second. So my cost of picking up anything is 42 cents. Now you can make all sorts of arguments that, well, am I not seeing a client and picking up that penny, et cetera, et cetera. But clearly, I mean, let's just say I valued my time at, just above minimum wage, say $20 an hour. That means it's 33 cents a minute, which means it's, about a half cent per second, right? So a half cent per second, if it takes 5 seconds to pick up a coin, that's 2.5 cents. So even on minimum wage, earning a minimum wage, it's not really worth it to pick up a penny. But certainly, I would probably have a hard time letting a nickel go, but I can't make a good case for that financially. It kind of looks like, based on my hourly, that I shouldn't stop for anything less than that 50-cent piece, which, when's the last time you saw a 50-cent piece? So I will admit, I'm going to pick up something, probably definitely a quarter. Depends if I'm in a hurry or not. So how about you? I mean, what do you stop to pick up? I had a lot of emails in response to this column of many people who say they stop to pick up pennies and they will continue to stop to pick up pennies, and really cite a lot of money scripts. And of course, money scripts have to do with our history, and it gets pretty ingrained in us. I mean, you can think of a money script that a penny saved is a penny earned, right? Or don't waste money. Or it's free money. But how free is it really if it costs us 2.5 cents to pick it up? But that's logic, right? And money scripts usually don't have a whole lot to do with rationale. Of course, we know that every money script, it makes perfect sense when we look at the underlying money scripts. Another money script may be, well, leave it for someone who really needs it. A person came up with that particular money script. And that's not a money script that occurred to me, that I'd walk by it and leave it for somebody else. Another money script that was interesting to me that one person had is, don't take it. It's not yours. It would be stealing. Wow. Now that's a pretty powerful money script. And we could debate the merits of that. But it's still very powerful. And imagine the guilt that would come along to that person that picked it up. This isn't mine. It's stealing. Some other money scripts or emotions that come up around picking up money. One is excitement and joy. You know, just finding even a small amount of money can trigger feelings of well-being, a little rush of happiness. It's kind of like winning a small lottery, and we know there's a physiological component to this, because anytime we pick up money, more specifically dollar bills, when we hold dollar bills, areas of the brain light up. So it makes total sense that some people would experience joy. Now, I haven't even gotten into picking up dollars or $5 bills or $20 bills. And I think what can happen with those is there can be more intensity of the emotion. Because obviously it's very profitable to step down and pick up a dollar bill when judged against your hourly rate. Something else that people can feel is kind of sense of indifference or amusement. It's like a small coin just doesn't even register as meaningful or worth the time to consider. Now, I had all this long-running dialogue going on of trying to look at this. Obviously, I wasn't very ambivalent about it. There was a part of me that wanted to be ambivalent about it, but I hadn't reached that point. there can be relief and gratitude. If you're facing a financial difficulty, especially in the moment, maybe you're a little short of money, and finding even a few cents or a few dollars can be a real blessing. And there's lots and lots of stories about how money just kind of appeared for people and was an answer to prayer. Another thing that people can experience is pride and contentment. Bending down to pick up money can really trigger a sense of accomplishment or a satisfaction, something like doing a good deed or getting something free produces. And again, this is similar to what I talked about previously about all the dopamine, I think it would be, that is released when we touch money. Another one is guilt and anxiety. You might view this money as isn't yours to take, that I said before. And you might even think about the potential consequences of keeping it. This could be a feeling that since you may be stealing it, that there are going to be consequences. Maybe not so much legally, but the maybe spiritual consequences of just feeling the guilt and anxiety that you took something that wasn't yours. Some people have expressed distrust, anxiety, and suspicion, wondering if the money was left on purpose as part of a fraud or a trap. So to avoid that, you leave it. Now, that's not anything that ever occurred to me, but some folks have felt that. And I think it ties into the next one of feeling shame and embarrassment. There's a common social stigma associated with picking up money on the ground, especially larger amounts. They kind of make it similar to maybe going through a trash bin. You can feel that others will judge you as greedy if they see you picking up the money on the ground. Or judge you, less than. And then another one is sadness and compassion. You can feel empathy and understanding for the potential distress of the person who actually lost the money. I think this may have happened in my life. I was worked all summer to raise money to go buy a bicycle. And I forget how much money I had saved. And this was a long time ago, probably 60 years ago. And I went to a parade. I had this money in a little click leather kind of a coin purse. And it may have been $100, $200. Back then, we got $2 for a mowing job. Well, I lost it. We got down to the store after the parade, went in, picked out the bicycle, reached into my pocket, and my leather purse wasn't there. And I was crushed. A whole summer's worth of work gone. And I went home, and I was contacted by the police. And I must have had my name in the coin purse or something. And they said somebody had found the coin purse and turned it in. And I was reunited with my money. So I appreciate that person that felt empathy and understanding and reunited me with my summer's earnings. I also got thinking, you know, what is your response, whether to pick up money or not, have to do with your money script categories? For example, someone who's money avoidant may fear negativity or bad luck associated with finding it, so they walk on by, which may also help them avoid any karmic debt or negative consequences of it. Someone with money worship money scripts might see the money as a lucky omen or unexpected bounty, a sign of financial destiny. They're probably likely to pick it up viewing it as a blessing or a reward for positive beliefs around abundance and attracting wealth. A money status person, the value of the money may not register significantly as contrasted with your wealth or your perception of yourself. A money status person would probably walk past a small amount of money or a small coin, but they might pick up a $100 bill, say. And then money vigilant category of money scripts might question the source of the money, worry about the potential swindles or traps, check if anyone nearby might be looking. If so, they might walk on, or they might pick it up. They also may be the person that reports it to lost and found authorities. And if a money vigilant picks it up because of their secretiveness around money, they probably won't tell anybody that they did. That's what I got out of looking at a penny on the ground. So I just throw that out for you to ponder. We could throw in a whole additional curve into this, because if you see a penny in the middle of a busy street, you might not want to overthink the decision of whether to pick it up or not. A friend of mine told me a story of her partner who once was crossing a busy street and had a money script that you pick up money, and was reaching down to pick up the coin. I don't know if it was a little bit embedded in the asphalt or not, but I think fortunately she kind of pushed him ahead before he got hit. How strong our money scripts can be. So thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for being a listener. And I look forward to being with you next week. Thanks for joining me, Rick Kaler, for another episode of Financial Therapy. It's not just about the money. This is where I combine the nuts and bolts of financial advice with the emotions that drive making them. Remember, every financial behavior, whether it appears illogical to you or others, makes perfect sense when we understand the underlying beliefs, feelings, and thoughts. Sign up for my weekly blog at financialawakenings.com. I hope you'll join me again for our next episode.